What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal King Podcast. This is episode number 188. All right, so today I brought my lovely wife Jess back on, and we went down the path of talking about marriage. Now, the big point that I wanted to do, it's not necessarily like I feel like marriage per se is getting attacked. I just don't feel like there's enough people advocating for marriage and maybe some of the upside and some of the purpose and just the overall meaning that I feel like you can get from a committed relationship, right? Like we kind of live in this hookup culture. We live in this time where it's like, oh, just wait. And oh, you don't want to get married in your 20s. Maybe wait till you're like mid 30s and like all this stuff. And I feel like we're robbing ourselves of a lot of the joy that comes from literally growing with somebody else. So again, I'm not here saying, oh, marriage is under attack, or, you know, marriage is looked at like a bad thing. It's more, I don't feel like a lot of people are just advocating for the reasons why maybe it is better to get married at a younger age. Maybe there are benefits to sharing your entire life with one other person. So Jess and I do our best in advocating for marriage in this and committed relationships. And so hopefully you enjoy it. We had a little bit of fun, and you'll realize why she absolutely hit the lottery. So there you go. Also too, we did just restock today in Crosso Meats. So make sure go to crossomeats.com while it's available, while you can. Grab yourself some meat, some beef, whatever, and you know, live a little bit better. Share that beef with your wife or your husband. All right, everybody, let's get started. So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name is Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward. What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal King Podcast. So I have all of our favorite guests here. What kind of weird noise are you going to make?
I don't know. I don't have any weird noises today.
No weird noises.
Just normal.
Okay. So this is technically a guest podcast, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What are you drinking?
Cocktail.
Oh, boy. about to get spicy. Yeah?
Sure.
Okay. So mainly, I wanted to bring you on for one main reason. Do you know what that is?
No, I'm terrified.
Why are you terrified?
Because you do, like, I don't, you never know.
You know
you
what?
Never know.
You know
what's
the topic
coming. I do know the topic coming because you actually shared that. But I, like, God only knows what direction this is going in, so.
Well, it's marriage.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, which, I mean, is a very broad thing.
Yeah. So I want to preface this episode with something that I feel like is important to preface it with, which is this is not going to be, like, this isn't meant to be an attack on you if you're single, because, like, I know people who are single and are happy. This, to me, I want it to be more of a conversation of what I feel like, more kind of general terms. And what I'm getting at is, you know, you see, I feel like we kind of in our culture, and it's been this way for a while, I think probably even since we were younger, it's almost like this hookup culture, right? Like, mm-hmm. You think of, you know, Hollywood and celebrities. It's like they get married and they get divorced, and then they're like on to the next one, and it's like, oh, so-and-so is so much better. And like,
oh, well, yeah. Now it's like, how long will they last? It's not a like, oh, they're so happily ever after.
Well, it's not like this is a new thing to where it is like the hookup culture, you know, but I do think that, you know, like Tinder and some of these different dating apps has made it super simple. Like, I'll never forget, you know, at an old job I had years and years ago when Tinder was like brand new, or at least it was brand new as far as I was concerned. You know, a guy that I worked with telling me, oh yeah, like you see my bio and it's like, you know, single dad, just looking for the right girl. And he's like, you have no idea what these girls would do. Like, it was just crazy,
yeah,
you know, like telling me these stories of, you know, like just hookup after hookup. And what I think happens, and this is why I wanted to do this episode, is because I think sometimes maybe when you're married or when you're younger, you would see a guy like that talking about all these stories and all these crazy things, but they're really, most of those people, they're not fulfilled, right? They're not, they might be happy in the moment. It's almost like, like partying or something, right? Like when you party, it's like great in the moment. And then you wake up the next day and you're like, oh my gosh, that was terrible, right? Like you have like the one night stand, then you have the guilt and you have like all the emotions and the shame and everything that goes with it. And I think that that is because deep down somehow, some way, maybe it's like the God thing or whatever, like we're built to have like a monogamous relationship. Like I feel like that is the optimal human relationship. But yet for some reason, if you say that, you're looked at as being like old fashioned or, you know, maybe you're not up on the times or whatever else because you're not out there, you know, banging like 50 different people before you get married.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I mean, am I right?
Sure.
So, and like, I guess the thing that I worry about sometimes is that there aren't enough people kind of advocating for this. Right. And I think that it's so cool. You know, if you can be the one who's going out and hooking up, and especially I think it's from a guy's thing, you know, to where you can be the one that's out there and hooking up with all these chicks and, you know, putting another notch in the bedpost and all that type of stuff. But I also feel like people understand that that's not going to be fulfilling. In fact, it's actually, in my experience, it's going to put you the other way. Mm-hmm. So here's your opportunity to be an advocate for marriage, because I mean, let's face it, you hit the jackpot.
Oh my gosh.
No?
Oh,
okay.
Oh, the ego.
What?
Whatever.
I kid, kind of. But no, like, so what are your thoughts on this? Just like with some of the hookup culture, maybe obviously from a women's perspective, you know, maybe when you were younger and you would see like maybe girls going out and being like, oh yeah, it's so great to be with all these different guys and it's awesome. Like, well, I'm just curious your
take. I think it's different. Well, I mean, I guess I don't know, at least in the people I have been around, it wasn't ever the like, oh my gosh, it's cool to hook up with so many people. It was more so, I think, and maybe this came with, I mean, I don't know, maybe this came from like the feminist side of things and how our culture has progressed or whichever, but it got to the, you know, it was more like looked down upon that. I mean, even you and I, like dating through college and being quote unquote like serious or settled so early, it was almost like, well, but don't you want to, you know, travel the world and not be held down and be able to like do whatever you want to do. And so it was almost more of like a freedom, right? Like it wasn't like, oh my goodness, look at all these guys I've been with, but it's more like, was almost the pride of like, I'm not held down. I can, you know, date whoever I want to and do whatever I want to. And if I want to turn around and, you know, go here, or travel there or whatever, like there's not any, there was no, I don't want to say no steady, but you know, there wasn't like a standard or like a, like, well, this is like just what my life is. It was, you had that ambiguity to go do whatever you wanted to do. You know, and I remember even people asking me being like, well, like, do you ever wish or regret that you couldn't just like after college, just go do whatever you wanted to do and, you know, be totally on your own. And I was not that person. And so I was like, well, no, not really. But I think that was more of that type of a, like, don't hold me down, you know, don't just make my life like planned out for what it is that now I'm just going to go be a housewife. It was,
well,
it was,
I guess
that,
I think,
that side of it was more prevalent.
Well, I think that's part of it, right? Because there is the like, yeah, go experience life and stuff. But where I think that this can turn into really bad advice is like almost everything that you do that you experience is better with other people. Mm-hmm. Right. And mm-hmm. if you are fortunate enough or lucky enough or blessed enough, however you want to put it, to be able to find that other person to have those experiences with, I mean, like, how much better can it get than that?
Yeah. Well, and I'm trying to look it up. So, I mean, one of the things that I think of is it's like with even, and I don't know if people have heard, well, this is not what I want to do. There's like the Maslow hierarchy of needs, right? And it's like a psychological. So if you want to, you know, for me, like it's a very black and white thing, but from like a psychological standpoint, it's the, you know, like love and belonging. And I mean, like what, so the biggest thing is, oh my gosh, this is really small. Sociological needs, which is, you know, but then it becomes like love and safety and belonging. They're all like, those are huge, just like general needs that every person has. So now can some people say they're getting that like belonging and love from a friend or, you know, a peer group or community? That's like the buzzword, right? A community. But at the same time, like, I would argue that, like, maybe you can for a little while. However, if that, let's say, a, you know, a good best friend of yours decides that they're going to go off and get married or move or whatever, then it is kind of like you have that open hole again, right? Like, you don't have that person to just be like, okay, this is my person, and have that connected and, you know, the relationship that you have there with that one-on-one person, to fulfill that need. Like I said, whether, you know, from my, again, my mind, I'm like the biblical side of it where it's like, no, like God created us to work together and have a partner. And, you know, we've done lots of podcasts about that and the balance of, you know, different skills and gifts and personalities and all those things. And I mean, like, you can see that how it works perfectly together. Now with that, I think people will argue like the, like, divorces and horrible marriages and all of that. And obviously those are out there. And some, of course, like, I think it goes without saying, like, abuse situations, things like that are never okay. But I also feel like the reason, or a big part of the reason why people have, like, whether it's divorcing, but, or even just like quick flippant relationships, is it's the very like, well, we'll just try it out. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. It's not even a big deal. And so people go in and they haven't gone through the process of like having hard conversations, or, you know, sometimes there's like premarital counseling and things like that that people go through, or just being in a relationship long enough to even deal with things and know what you're getting into before you get into it. So that when you're making that commitment, you're there and you're at the point where you can make the commitment long-term. It's not even a question of if it'll work. It's just like, well, of course it will. And like, that's what's going to happen.
Well, you look at, you know, like with the divorce rates and stuff, because I know that is an argument maybe against marriage, right? Because
Everybody just gets divorced now.
Well, yeah. And there's a lot of guys that are like, yeah, great, great deal for me, right? I marry somebody and, you know, I make a bunch of money maybe. And then one of the men's groups I'm in, I see this all the time. And it's like, you know, and all the states are against men. And so, you know, you go, you get married, you sign up for this thing, and then you get divorced and then you lose half your stuff, right? Like, why would I ever do that? I remember seeing a guy post something like that.
Exactly.
But what I also feel like happens now is it's almost like this microwave society to where everything needs to be done like right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at it like, when do you feel like when do you make the most personal growth? Like, take somebody else out of the equation, but when do you feel like if you're working out, if you're whatever, like, when do you usually get the most personal growth?
Like, in a day to day or an age?
Just overall. Like what would you say? Cause I would say when you make it through discomfort.
Oh, right? Okay. Like, gotcha. Yeah. No, when you go through a challenging time, a challenging situation, something, and that could be everything from, you know, work or tragedy or, again, fitness. I mean, whatever it might be, that it's like, I felt like I wasn't going to get there and I got there, and you know, have that win and you learn through that. Definitely. Well, and
that's what I guess I'm getting at is that I think most people, especially if you're listening to this podcast, you probably have heard me harp on it over and over and over again, which is like, most times the struggle makes you better. Like, the struggle is the process in making you better. It's, you know, the workout is what's making you fitter. You know, the cold plunge, the saunas, all those different things harden your mindset. Like, all of those struggles make you better. But then for some reason, when it comes to like a marriage, it's almost like we look at these struggles as being a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I just look at our marriage and I'm like, most of the big struggles we've gone through, whether it was, you know, like when you lost your brother, when I lost my dad, when we moved, like all these different things, it's like you go through these struggles. Stuff,
job changes. Kids, are we going to have kids? Are we going to lose kids? Like, I mean, just, oh my gosh.
Yeah. And like, you look back at all of those struggles now that we're a ways into this thing, like almost 16 years or whatever, married and over 20 together, which is so weird. I don't feel that old. You're old. I'm not.
You're old. You're older than I am.
I am so. Older than you. But like, you look
Somebody's still in their 30s.
That's true. Just clarify that's true. That. You're hanging on by a thread, though.
Hey, I got a few more months. I'm hanging on as long as I can.
Yeah. But I mean, like, when you look at the struggle, it's like, those were the things that like made us stronger. Like, we can look back at like this disastrous move that we made and the house and everything else. And it's like, as hard as it was and like everything else, it's like that made us stronger together.
Yeah.
Now, if I would have gone through that on my own as a single guy out partying and just, you know, kind of racking up the numbers or whatever, like, it wouldn't have been nearly as fulfilling. It wouldn't have been nearly as like purpose driven, right? Like even like what I was talking to you. So maybe some of you guys know, I don't know if I really talked about it, but I'm a huge fan of the show The Ranch on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I usually watch that entire series like
once a year.
Yeah, once a year.
Every winter we watch
it. Yeah. And I don't, at this point, it seems like I don't really watch a lot of TV, but I'll like sneak an episode in usually like during lunchtime or something. I'll watch an episode or something. But anyways, I was just watching like toward the end of it. If you're not there yet, earmuffs, because I'm going to spoil something. But at the very end of it, one of the main characters, he's stuck behind a truck and he's like going to freeze to death and he's going to die. Ashton
Kutcher's.
Yeah. But like as he's basically dying, all he's thinking about is he wants to stay alive for his wife and his kid.
Like that's, we aren't going to say who it is.
What do you mean?
Well, don't say who the character. Who,
I just said it was Ashton Kutcher.
You
said
the character, okay, but you don't know who the wife and kids are.
Oh, well, if you watch any of The Ranch, you probably have a pretty good idea.
Yeah, anyway, there could be a plot twist.
The damn series got over like 4 years ago. If you haven't watched, if you haven't watched it yet, then you deserve the the spoiler alert. So, anyways, as we're apparently becoming Instagram famous because Jess is taking pictures of us.
Oh, it's a really bad one.
Oh, okay.
Keep talking.
But anyways, you're.
Keep talking.
You're totally sidetracking this.
It's fine. Just keep talking.
I feel awkward when you're like taking pictures of me.
Really?
Yeah, let's do it. Take the picture. Okay.
Jeez.
Oh, you're even posing with your margarita? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyways, we've done
derailed.
Like
back to the
cardinal
ranch.
Sin in this, back which is like ranch. Completely just like piss people off and waste their time.
Perfect.
But anyway, so no. It comes back to this whole marriage thing though, right? Because he's pinned against the truck and he's about ready to die. He's freezing to death and everything else. And then he's like just trying to stay alive for his wife and for his kid. And then you start thinking like, you know, if you were one of those people who's like, damn, Bilzerian is like my idol. And you know, these pickup artist dudes are the coolest guys ever. It's like, where would your will be to live in that moment? You know what I mean? Like, what would you be trying to live for in that moment? So you could go out to the bar and pick up another rando? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, that's what I feel like, I guess, in this episode, like, kind of advocating for marriage. And, Matt, I guess, I don't even care about marriage, but, like, advocating for...
I don't care like, about marriage.
Well, I'm saying, like, some type of monogamous relationship,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I gotcha.
Because I feel like what people aren't telling you is that there is purpose that's so much deeper in that than what... we're led to believe. Like, I feel like, and again, this is maybe me putting my tinfoil hat on like I love to do, but I feel like we're being attacked and we're being told and we're being led to believe, and falsely in my opinion, that having a marriage and having kids is not the optimal way of living, right? Like we're being sold this bill of goods that, well, I actually shared this the other day on Instagram. You know, this poll, remember that poll that I shared that was like, you know, the importance of having kids has gone way down since, I don't remember, it was like 98 or something
yeah,
like that.
I remember what the
it's like
were.
It went way down and religion has gone way down, like the importance of that. And your community, your sense of community has gone way down. And like all these metrics that are just like, look like they're going off a cliff other than money.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no accident in that.
Yeah.
Right? That, to me, that's not an accident. Mm-hmm. That is, you know, generation after generation of indoctrination of the most important thing that you can do is go out there and make a bunch of money and have nice stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really sinking in now to where it's like, okay, I would forgo my relationship. You know, it's almost like that movie, The Family Man, right? To where it's like, you know, you're in your 20s and it's like, all you're focused on is your career. That's the most important thing. And I'm like, no, it's really not. Like, I'm a huge advocate. Go out there and make a ton of money. But if you think that money is ever going to provide you purpose, if you think it's ever going to provide you comfort, like out, you know, what a relationship could do, you're mistaken. Like
your couch
won't.
Isn't going to talk back. Your TV is not going to talk back to you. Yeah.
It can provide you with temporary dopamine, like buying stuff. I love to buy stuff. I absolutely
he loves
love
to
it.
Buy things.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Speaking from the person that's got Amazon here 3 times a day.
Hey, we live in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. But I mean, no, but seriously, like I do love to buy stuff. But at the end of the day, like think about, you know, and we've talked about it before, but I remember our old pastor even saying it, you know, it's like you go out there, you buy this brand new car and you feel so good. It's like all the dopamine and it's like, no one's going to eat in here ever. No one's, you know, take your shoes off before you get in this car. And then like 2 years down the road, it's like, whatever. I just throw Skittles out the, you know, into the back when they're, you know, melting or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, because it's a possession, like we're not built, we're not wired to covet possessions like that. Like we might want them, we might, you know, desire them, but at the end of the day, like what we really actually truly need for that fulfillment, for that purpose, is for somebody to share this life with. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think a lot of it too, is it all goes back to that. Like I feel we are becoming even more and more a very self-centered, self-focused society, right? Like nobody cares what your actions are, how it's impacting anybody else. You know, it's the whole like you do you society or whatever, which I despise that saying, but it's just like everybody in for themselves, right? There's not any more of like, well, how is this going to impact my family? And you know, I mean, at what point in time, you'd know better than I would, but it's like your family name was like everything. And if, you know, you tainted the family name, then it was like a huge deal. Or, you know, they're not even like that matter. It was just things of, oh, well, this is going to like impact. If I do this, like, how is that going to impact this? You know, whether it's my family, my friends, my community, whatever it is like around me. And I think now it's kind of like, well, this is what's good for me. I need to focus on me. And like, there's a fine line there. And I get that to an extent, right? Like, I mean, it's something we've talked about, like where we've as a family have chosen to be, you know, and I call it like unselfishly selfish, where it's almost like, okay, how do we, you know, focus more inward, like what we're spending our time doing, all of those things. But with that, it's also that because it's not for just me though, right? Like that's for our family of six people because we all are integrated together. And I would say that also then impacts the people outside of our family. And there's like the ripple effect. And, but by having somebody else that you are even remotely caring for, and again, maybe if it is like you're a single person, maybe that is just your coworkers or your, you know, town community that you're living in or whatever that could be.
But you'll never have that deep relationship.
No, I agree with that completely. But what I guess I'm saying is that you can have a sense of like at all caring that, you know, okay, well, if I make this choice, I mean, you could even go down to the point of like voting, right? Like if I vote this way, I might not give a crap, but how is this going to impact my neighbor's kids or, you know, whatever that might be, just like any care whatsoever in something outside of yourself is, I guess what I'm saying is that's the first part of, I mean, marriage is the one piece of it, but as a whole, I feel like we're just a very self-centered, which then goes to the, I deserve everything. It's all about me. So, I mean, yeah, then you take how in the world do these people manage in relationships when, again, everything is all about them. And if you want to be treated like a queen, but you wanted to be treated like a king, and there is no give or take other than you are my servant, like that doesn't work out very well.
Yeah. Well, and I think that, you know, it's so one of the things that I'm
not saying there's not a time or place, because if you want to treat me like a queen sometimes, like that would be okay.
Oh, yeah. Likewise.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, don't you want to be happily married like us?
You don't want to be treated like a queen, maybe a king.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, I'd take a, what do they call when you get your pedicure, manicure?
Oh, you want a pedicure now?
Sure.
Oh, I can only imagine. Good God. Yeah. Okay.
But no, like when you look at the breakdown of society that I truly believe that we're seeing, and I think you can see it everywhere, right? It's because I feel like it comes back to this point of what you just said, which is it's all about me. Mm-hmm. And I'm a huge advocate of getting your own house in order, right? Like it's hard to be in a good relationship if you're not the best version of yourself. But having said that, I also feel like, you know, when we're telling people like go out there and, you know, do this stuff with a bunch of different people. And that doesn't mean like go out and, you know, you shouldn't go and date a bunch of people. Like I truly believe that you should, because I truly do believe that you're going to be more compatible with some people than other people, right? Like from a personality standpoint, yeah, and drives and values.
Never date more than one person.
Yeah, you should.
For sure.
But like one of the things that I hate is when people are like, oh, they're getting married too young. And it's like, but well, are there, they?
Again, it's the like, you're trapped down now. You should explore things. You should do, you know, whatever you want on your own.
Yeah. I think it's awesome. Like if you can get married young and actually be committed, I mean, think about how many like old people, you know,
I know,
that died and then like their spouse died like within 6 months.
Or sometimes I mean, think about even that. Days. Just what's crazy is how many people are having their like 60 year anniversaries mm-hmm. and like, I mean, 50 isn't too crazy, but I mean, I don't know that there's going to be a time in the near future that you're going to see very many 50 year anniversaries even, because I mean, typically, okay, so then you're in your 70s if you got married in your 20s.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe if you got married still by late 20s to early 30s, you could have some 50 years.
Yeah.
But, I mean, some of these people who are having 60-year anniversaries, like, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And it's just like, not going to happen, like, anymore. Like,
it's going to be more rare and rare. But, I mean, the reality is, though, is that, like, if you get married at a young age and you make the commitment, and yes, like I know people like very close to me who got married at a young age and it didn't work out. Like I've, you know, just what in the last couple of months, like a couple mm-hmm. like close friends that have gone through divorces, and it's not like this stuff doesn't happen, but I'm not even really talking to that. It's more so like, you know, like when I gave the graduation speech or whatever, you know, 2 years ago or whenever that was, like one of the last things that I told these kids is like, you know, be a rebel, like go out and get married and have kids and buy land and like do all of these things that make you happy, right? Because it feels like to me what society is advocating for is go out there, get into a ton of debt in college mm-hmm. to where you can't afford to buy a house. Go and chase that corporate.
Tons of different people. Yeah, yeah. Work yourself to death.
Yeah. Go out there, get that corporate job that's going to, you know, give you all these, you know, stupid things that you want to buy.
Cars and coach bags that you can't afford.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to go out there and you're going to be able to buy all this stuff. And, you know, you can go and play the dating scene. And then when you're in your 30s, you can kind of start settling down maybe. And it's like by then, like it's too late. You know what I mean? Like everybody's got baggage at that point. Like mm-hmm. that's the bummer.
Well,
like,
it's interesting. Talk to somebody. So I also know a couple, I'm trying to think. Yeah. A couple people around me that are having babies right now that are older in life and just different circumstances and so forth. And all's great. But what's funny is a couple other of us were sitting there just going like, can you imagine having a baby right now? And I mean, granted, I had two babies 5.5 years ago. Like it wasn't that long ago, but even now, I mean, I'm now almost 40, but even that, I'm just like, no, I can't imagine like just being tired. And then one of them actually saying who was having the baby was just like, it's a whole different deal being pregnant at, you know, late 30s versus mid 20s to mid 30s. Like, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just, you're not to say it's not done, go for it. You know, whatever people want to do, but it's just, like, I think there is some just way your body is made for different things. Like I said, whether it's having kids later or, you know, I mean, again, pros to cons of everything. Sometimes people say, you know, well, I'm glad I got married later because I did get to explore all those things. And then maybe they're married forever and happy and great. But it is, I think that, you know, as a whole, like just you typically people are not necessarily waiting as long as they do because they're choosing to. Usually that's because they haven't found somebody.
Well, and
it's what my experience.
And again, like I have friends who are dating at, you know, late 30s, early 40s, and they're all like, it's a disaster. You know what I mean? Like, and then you talk to people who maybe are a little bit older and they're like, it's really a disaster.
Oh, I can't. Yeah. No, that's like, we talked about, I mean, various times. Cause again, knowing people, it's like, And they're right there with her. This isn't like a behind your back conversation. It's like, I cannot imagine dating right now. Like, couldn't imagine.
No.
Like what? I'd be like, hi, so I'm almost 40. I have 4 kids. Like, what is that? And much less, not even that, right? Like, then you go just the route of like, how do you date? I mean, okay, so I got to get a babysitter every time I want to go do something. Or then you think about even like, right, when you're first dating, let's say even, you know, early 20s, or if you're on your own, whatever, like you're on your own schedule, right? There's nothing going on. You're doing whatever you want to do. And, you know, whether it was talking on the phone or jumping out for like, we're just going to go for coffee right now, or like the spontaneity of it, right? Well, now you're like, oh, sorry, I can't talk on the phone right now, actually, because I'm helping Johnny with homeschool. Like, I can barely call my grandma on the phone, much less if I was trying to have like some phone call where I'm like building relationships with someone. I can't even imagine.
That's why I'm like at a point in my life to where I don't make any new friends.
I know. I try to get you out sometimes.
No, I don't want to.
You don't want new friends.
I don't want any new friends. Nope.
Just all the old ones.
Sorry. Like if we're not friends probably at this point in my life, chances are we'll never be friends.
Oh God.
Just too much effort, let alone like If you ever left me or died or something, I'd just be like, I'm sorry. I just don't have the effort or the energy to date you. So like, can we just cut all the BS? Like that would be my problem. Like if I were dating now, it's like, I don't want to go through all this
stuff. But I think people do though. I think that's it though, right? Because I think that's also kind of like the sad part of, I think when you are younger, there is that little bit of like, you can date a little more freely, right? Like you can kind of, I would say like have the fun, just like, might not be my deal, but like, oh, that's fun. Like whatever, we'll go, you know, we like to watch hockey together or what, I don't freaking know, come up with something, right? And so, but at the same time, like then you get later in life and I've heard many people get to where they are. They're like, I don't got time to screw around.
Yeah.
Like I'm on a clock well, now. Like now, like if you're not da 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 da,
I mean, like, I know for me, this. I know for me personally, like the older I get, the more set in my schedule I am. Mm-hmm. And so like my problem would be is like, you don't understand.
Sorry, it's 9 p.m. Like yeah. I need to go to bed.
If it's 9 o'clock, I go to bed.
You guys don't even know. This is 10 o'clock right now. This is crazy late
Yeah,
for
this
us.
Is so late. Oh my gosh. I don't even know what we're doing up still. But yeah,
I still got more work to do.
I would be so like, oh, you want to go get coffee? Well, I wake up at 4:30. So does that work for you? Oh, you want to go out to dinner? Better make it 5 because I'm in bed by 8:30 or 9. So like it would, no one would want to date me at this point. Yeah. No. Yeah. But I guess like where it comes back to for me though is like, I guess I get frustrated because I see like a lot of young kids being almost, again, like I feel like almost brainwashed, and I feel like I was to a certain extent, to where it's like you want to go out and you want to see the world and you want to do all these different things, so you can't be tied down. And it's like, you can do that with like a wife, you can do that with a girlfriend, you can do that, you know, with a boyfriend or whatever. Like it doesn't mean you have to do everything together, but like it's almost like this thing that is pitched to everybody being like, oh yeah, but if you do have somebody, you're going to be tied down. It's like, no, actually, if you find the right person, it makes it like 10 times better. Mm-hmm. Like that's what's not being talked about. Now, if you find the wrong person, it might make it 10 times worse.
Yeah.
And so what I think you also get is a bunch of jaded people out there that maybe found the wrong people. And so they just like, you know, they hate women, they hate men, whatever, mm-hmm, because they found a couple of the wrong people. And
well,
that
and
is a problem
force
too.
Force that relationship, right? Like they, a lot, I mean, again, I guess I don't know this, but like from what I see in those situations, it's usually people with a lot of underlying issues that are, you know, like I said, they had things they needed to work on either themselves or there was self-confidence challenges or, you know, again, they dive into a relationship because they want that fulfillment, but not like actually thinking through, like, is this a good choice? Is this a good match for me?
Yeah.
We hate everything that, you know, we don't get along with anything or well, whichever, but we're still going
to
get married.
I mean, I think that there has to be. So this actually comes to another question I was asking you the other day.
Uh-oh, I don't remember. Yeah.
I know I have all these weird thoughts that go through my head and then I have to ask people. And usually Jess just looks at me and is like, why do you even think about this stuff? And I don't know. That's the answer. So, but.
Oh, I know a question.
Yeah. So what
these
I think
are like, where do you come up with this stuff?
I
you got way
too
much time on your hands, obviously.
I just think
give
about
you
too
some
much
more
stuff.
Honey-do lists.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's what I'm thinking about is when I'm out there doing all this stuff. But so no. So what I think about is, you know, you have to have certain values aligned. Like I heard somebody break it down and there's like 5 of them and you have to have at least 4 of them. Or maybe it was like, you have to have 3 of them. You can disagree on a couple of them. And it was basically like kind of your, you know, your political views, your religious views, your like drive. I can't remember what they were.
Money, I'm sure was in there. Finances, I'm sure.
Maybe. I can't remember. But it was like, basically you had to have 3 of them or else you didn't have a chance. You know, like if you had 3 of these things that lined up with the other person.
Out of 5?
Yeah, 3 out of 5, and you could make your marriage would be good, right? Like basically, it's like you don't have to agree on everything.
Yeah.
And that's where it kind of comes down to this, to where I think everybody's out there being like, oh, when I meet the perfect person,
oh yeah,
you know, then I'll just know it, and it'll be great. And it's like I don't know that you thought I was the perfect person when we first
Definitely
started dating.
Not. Just kidding.
Wow.
I'm kidding.
Okay, well, I'll just go ahead and say I didn't think you were the perfect person.
Perfect. Great.
What do you think about that?
Great. I'm perfect now, so it's fine.
So anyways, but no, like, I think that we have this almost like, it's funny, right? Because I feel like one side of all these people are like, go out there and experience everything and you know, figure out, you know, what you want to do in your life and do all this. And then you have like the other side that's like the Disney side of it. That's like, you know, the Prince Charming, and yeah, and it's going to be magical. And every time you kiss, there's going to be sparks. And like, the problem is those sparks fade out over time. Like, again, like with anything. So it's like, are you compatible? And then are you willing and committed to making it work? And that's where I feel like, you know, if you are, again, kind of coming back to, you're going to have struggles in any relationship. You put two people together in any situation, there's going to be some types of conflict. Mm-hmm. Like there just will be. But it comes down to like, are you willing to tolerate the conflict? Are you willing to push through the conflict? Are you willing to resolve it, get stronger, move forward, and all of that? But this does get to the question I was asking you, which is, do you believe that there is such thing as soulmates? Like, do you believe, let me rephrase it. Do you believe that out of almost 8 billion people on this planet, that I am the only one that could have ever been here for you?
I answered this and you didn't like my answer then. So you're kind of going to like it now. So here's what I believe. I think that, yes, God plans someone for you in your life, 100%. It's not a willy-nilly, like, there's a person for everyone. Then, but the caveat, so then he was like, well, what about? And, like, yes, I also know that if there is a tragedy and someone dies or something like that, God also plans, and there's obviously a scene lots of times where it's like, there is someone else who's able to come in at that point in your life and also fulfill those needs. And people have been just as happy in that situation. So does that happen for everybody? Not necessarily. There's a lot of people who stay, you know, single after those situations or whatever you call it, widowed, widower, all that.
But then how are we soulmates? But then his argument was
like, but we're soulmates. Because at this point in time, we are.
Threesome soulmate?
No. That's weird. No, don't be weird. That you are weird.
That is weird.
No. At this time, you are exactly who God intended me to be with.
So would that mean I'm your soulmate, or I'm conditionally your soulmate, depending on whether or not I
live? You are my soulmate right now.
But if I die.
Don't know.
And then someone else comes along, they could become your new soulmate?
I don't know.
I don't like this answer. Because like, here's where I go to this.
But like, where'd the soulmate thing come from? That's where I would say, like, who came up with the soulmates?
I don't know.
Is that biblical?
I don't know.
Think so.
Is it?
Nope. I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe not then. I don't know. But I guess like and the reason why this, like, I first heard this and it really, I don't know. It was like a very fascinating question to me, because it's like, I think my initial reaction to that question is, yes, of course they're soulmates. Like, there's one person here for everybody, right? But then I'm like, maybe there's a bunch of people here from you. You just got to be better at, like, being in relationships. Or maybe there's no one here for you. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
But
I think there's definitely people who are just, for whatever reason, I mean, I don't know, that God called to be single, and that's just how that is too. Like,
well, like we've talked about, each of us are pretty, for the most part, like, unless you're cleaning or something, we're pretty well, like, go with the flow. If you're cleaning,
I'm,
and you
only
got the
angry
vacuum,
cleaning, like, because nobody else cleans.
Okay. But like, for the most part, like, we're both pretty go with the flow people. And so I feel like, again, like you were calling me my ego earlier, but there is a part of me that's like,
he really does think I hit the jackpot.
You did, but no, it's like,
good night.
I don't know. It sounds like such a jerk thing to
say.
I did, but it's like, out of all of these people, and I've been exposed to like 0.01%. Would you be the only person that I could be happily married with for this long? And I would even say the same thing back to me, like for you, which is like, you've met,
could,
like,
I have been married to somebody else?
Yeah. And been equally as happy in a completely different life.
Well, that's a big question.
Probably not, but possibly. Right? Possibly.
Yeah.
Sure. And that, but the reason why this question is so fascinating. See,
where does he come up with this stuff?
I heard it on a podcast. But no, like, here's why though, I feel like it's relevant, is because of the fact of like, people will maybe be with somebody and they're like, oh, they just weren't my soulmate. And it's like, yeah, but like, maybe you were just like, maybe you didn't try hard enough. Maybe you aren't the best version of yourself in the relationship. Like, is there any personal responsibility, or is it just easy to say that that person wasn't my soulmate? And so then they're just like, eh, whatever, on to the next.
That, I mean, I think that there's a lot more. I'm trying to think of, I have a million different thoughts, because I guess I go to that. If you are, how do I say this? I think if you go into it, I think that's where, like, it starts at the very beginning of the relationship, right? Like, what's your mindset? I mean, are you just like going into it totally like, they're hot now. Like, it'll be fun for a couple years. Like, no real commitment. Like, you know, just kind of go into it and we'll see what happens. I mean, I don't know how many times I've heard that. Been like, well, you know, yeah, we're going to get married and, you know, hopefully it'll last. Ha 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 ha. And it's just like, I don't know that you're like even going into this. And you're at ground zero with the right mentality. So kind of, I mean, I guess to me, it's just one of those where it's like, if you go in and maybe people do change, right? But at the same time, like, have you gone into it again? Have you had those conversations? Is it something where it's like you support each other, you want to grow with each other? Because that's another thing we've talked about recently too, is the whole, like, who was it that talked about the boat thing? Rowing against, rowing with.
Andy Frisella.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's just like, if are they, is somebody totally against everything you're doing? Or is it like, okay, you knew going in that, you know, these are things that interest you and you're going to support them, not necessarily meaning you're like doing it with them, but, you know, if you want to go run a marathon, like, cool, how can I support you in that?
Well, basically, so just so you guys know, is it's like, it was a question. I want to say it was, I'm pretty sure it was Andy Frisella. It was like a question of like, my spouse isn't supportive of the things that I want to do, and kind of the analogy.
No, it was my spouse isn't like entrepreneurial at all, and I am. Is like that gonna work? Like,
that's, yeah, maybe it was something like that. Anyways, but it was basically like, there's three different people that can be in the boat with you, right? So say you're out there, you're in the boat. It's like person number one is rowing the boat with you. Right. And
right along on the same goal, like going with you.
Yeah. Obviously that's going to be optimal. But then there's the second piece, which a lot of people fall into, especially, you know, if you are maybe more entrepreneurial or maybe like super big vision type of person, you know, then there's like the second person that's like, you know, I'm not rowing with you, but I'm not rowing, you know, I'm just basically not rowing. Right. Mm-hmm. Like I'm in the boat with you. And
well,
okay.
And they said, like, it wasn't like not rowing and just like, well, I'm just going to sit here and be a freeloader. It was more just the like, I'm here.
Yeah.
Go, like, that's awesome if you want to do that. I support you.
Maybe I don't know how to support you. I don't know what to do.
I'm not into being an author, but like, if you are, that's awesome. Go for it. I'm going to make the kids
supportive,
dinner.
But not. Yeah.
Not rowing, not helping you with your goal, but not, you know, not against, just like there. And they talked about that. The other speaker, it was Ed Milet. He was like, that's, you know, how my wife is. And it works fine. Cause she knows this is like my thing and that's awesome. And then when we go home and we spend time together and like, we don't do entrepreneurial things together, but that's great. Like it's a good balance and it works well. And
marriage works fine.
Yeah.
Cause I think it was Andy that was like, yeah, my wife is like entrepreneurial. Like we row the same direction,
the
like
together.
Totally
the
in line
together.
With,
yeah.
Yeah, with the, like the entrepreneurial thing. And then, yeah, Ed Milet, another guy, awesome guy. Who is super, super rich. And he's like, my wife has nothing to do with my businesses. Like doesn't do any of it.
Doesn't interest her. Like
we don't really talk about it, but she's like super supportive of me. She's just not like in the boat rowing with me. Mm-hmm. But then you get to the third one. And this is the problem, which is the one who's rowing the boat against you. So that is where you have maybe a spouse who isn't rowing with you. They're not maybe kind of agnostic in the direction that you're going. They are more like, what
full
you're
on,
doing
yeah.
is stupid. You need to quit. You need to stop. Mm-hmm. You need to.
I don't want you to be doing this.
That's like, where the problems arise.
Yep.
And so, like, I feel like if you're dating someone and you get the drift that they, no pun intended, right? You get the drift that they're going to be rowing against you, then that's a terrible idea. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, I feel like, and again, like, I am not a huge, like, you know, it's not like I'm against divorce in the right situations. Like, I think we were very clear. Like when we got married, it's like, you're pretty much stuck with me unless you cheat on me, right? Like that's pretty much it. Outside of that, you know, that's pretty much like kind of how we entered into this thing.
But again, I would say, and I think we've talked about this in prior podcasts as well, is I also encourage people anytime that, you know, it's just friends or family or whatever, because there is, right? It's all the love and romance. And it's like, oh, we're just so in love. And it's been 3 months and I think we're going to get married. And I've always encouraged people, like, if you think you are going to be married forever, then you should be able to date forever. Like, there shouldn't be any, like, reason other than that you just want to. But, you know, there's not, like, a timeline. There is, like, and the reason I've said that is you need to experience life with this person. And that might be look different in different places, right? Like, maybe that doesn't mean the full-on, like, you know, live together, all the things. But at the same time, like, I just go back to where we had gone through, like, so in our story, so we met as freshmen in college. Obviously we were not jumping in and getting married as freshmen in college, but even as our relationship progressed through many of the ups and downs and all the things, like in my mind, I was like, well, I'm finishing college. Like I'm not even thinking anything further, much less marriage or anything till I'm done with college. Like I'm in school. This is what I'm doing. Everything else will be, you know, down the road. Not to say we didn't ever have conversations and we weren't obviously serious together, but it wasn't a like, well, let's get married our junior year. Like that just wasn't even a thing. So again, we had what, 4.5, probably 5, almost 6 years. Cause then Andy got sick and all that in the middle of it. And so it was probably 4 to 6 years without actually thinking about all the dates of dating and doing life very closely together. So by the time we got married, I mean, my gosh, like I said, the things we had dealt with from, like you said, different, like truly even like breaking up, getting back together, different career paths, different majors, different school, going to school or not going to school. My brother passed away. Well, I guess he hadn't passed away at that point. Yeah, no, he had before we got married, he passed away. You know, like just, I mean, so many things had happened where truly it was very easy in a sense to sit back and be like, we made it through all that. Like we're golden. Like we knew how each other reacted in stressful situations. We knew what it was like in, you know, financial worry or, you know, just, I mean, all these different things where it was kind of like, now granted, that's not to say that we haven't had other things that have happened down the road, but it was always like through those, we knew that in the end, like we still choose each other. We're like, this is still where we want to be. Like, so even in those, again, like we came out of it basically, and I remember even having the conversation of like, yeah, like crap. The things we've dealt with, we got this. Like what else can be thrown our way?
We probably could have easily though gotten married earlier.
Absolutely. You know but mean? I guess like, I'm just saying, I think that that was a healthy, and I'm not saying everybody needs to wait 5 years, but I also feel like do life. Like it doesn't. And again, there's some people who have gotten together very quickly and they have great marriages, whatever. Just my experience and my advice was always like, there shouldn't be a hurry. Like if you're in a hurry, I feel like there's something almost wrong. Like the marriage isn't going to fix whatever, like do life and go through the challenges and, you know, make sure that you are comfortable with what are they going to do if, you know, this or that comes up or just go being able to go into it so confident. Like I didn't ever have, you know, the, what do they call it? It's cold feet. Is that what they say people when they get married? It wasn't like worried about it. Cause I was like, no question. Like this will be fine. You know,
don't even, jackpot.
Oh my gosh, whatever. God, I just like laid that right out.
Of course
for
you didn't have cold feet.
Oh my gosh. You are so.
Oh, I couldn't help it.
Let's just get real here. Derek was one that had to chase down the jackpot and had to grow up a little bit on a few situations that Jess said, I'm not dealing with this. So
really?
Either grow up and come on or, but he made good choices.
Jackpot.
He grew up.
Jackpot.
Yeah.
That's what you hit.
Yeah.
All right. So we should probably start wrapping it up. So I wanted to do this episode because mostly, you know, I've seen so many.
If we answered anything or give it any value, probably not.
I think so. I think it's been super valuable. Everyone knows how great of a husband I am now, right?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Okay. But no, in all seriousness, like as I see kind of our culture moving to more selfishness and less selflessness, it kind of drives me a little bit crazy, because I feel like if kids are taught that there's really nothing beyond them, they're very easy to control. They lack purpose. They lack desire. They lack drive. They lack ambition, right? Like we turn into this very kind of apathetic country, which I think is pretty apparent to see, to where you have just like all of this crazy stuff happening, because you just have a bunch of individuals living individually for themselves. Mm-hmm. You don't have tight-knit communities with families and kids. And you
think about like back in the day of like the village, right? Like, and you kind of hear that buzzword, and I don't mean to like divert again, but it's like, you hear like, oh, it takes a village. And I think I know me personally, like that is 100% real, true. Like my people are my people, and I could call any of them right now and they'd be at my doorstep if I like needed something. Like that village is very real and true. But I also know that it's a very like, oh, it takes a village. Da, 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 da. Like it's just the same people say. But I think, I mean, back in the day, like you lived in a village, like, you know, I mean, it was like 100% interlocked.
Well, we basically live in a village.
Okay, well, we do. We only have 400 people here. But yeah. Like, I mean, you think about like, it was like, there was one well. There was, you know, like this person over here was the blacksmith for everybody else. And this person over here was the one who, you know, whatever. Like, I mean, it was a very integrated society, because that is how you survived. And well, now again, it's just like everybody fend for themselves.
But everybody had buy-in, right? Like everyone worked together because they were like, I want this town, this community, whatever, to be better because I'm raising kids here.
Yep.
Right. I have a wife here that I want my wife to feel safe. Mm-hmm. Right. Like when you have those, even especially, I feel like as a man, it's like you don't want to live in an area where your wife isn't safe. Mm-hmm. You don't want to live in an area where your kids aren't safe.
Yep.
So naturally, what would you do as a man is you would want to make it safe. Mm-hmm. You would want to make, you know, everything around you better, because of the fact that you are the protector of your family.
Yep.
And so if you don't have those things and you don't have that really innate, like, again, like the hardwiring, in my opinion, to want to make things better, then it's like, you don't care if people are crapping on the street, like you're living in San Francisco, mm-hmm. right? When you just have a bunch of individuals that are just out for themselves, it doesn't really matter what you're leaving to the next generation, because you don't have a next generation.
Yep. Exactly.
Like none of this stuff matters, because it's only about you. So you don't see past the year 2040. You don't see past the year 2060, right? Like, but when you have, like we have, when you have four kids, you're so much more invested into your community, into your state, into your country. But again, like you see all these freaking blue-haired weirdos out there going around burning stuff down.
Yeah.
Like how many of them have kids? Like none.
Thank God, not many.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that's like the only silver lining, right? Is like all these wackos and weirdos like that don't have any kids that are out there doing all this weird stuff. Like, I guess we won't have to deal with any more weirdos because their bloodlines will stop there. Like, that's the only silver lining I can see. Right. But that's a long time away. I might never be able to make it that long. But again, like it is real though. Like you don't see a lot of people causing problems that are in a good marriage and have kids. Mm-hmm. Most of your problems come from people who are either not in a good marriage, not in a marriage at all. They don't maybe have kids, or they don't have relationships with their kids, right? Like,
well, and that's even one, or just like, let's say general purpose, right? Because that's one where I've said so many times, even with different things that we've dealt with, where it's like, I don't have the time or energy or capacity to fight with someone over whatever it might be that day on Facebook. Like, I haven't gone on Facebook today. I don't know the 5,000 comments. Like, sometimes when I look at some of this stuff, it's just like, what else did you do all day? Like, that's what you did all day. All day long, you fought with 20 other people on Facebook comments. Like, oh my gosh, I have 5,000 other things to do, priorities that are way higher than what you think about whatever this is that we're fighting about. And it's just, it goes back to where I think it is, that when there's other purpose, it almost like, what's the saying? Like a bored mind is, I don't know.
The idle hands are the devil's workshop.
Maybe, whatever. Because I mean, it is, it's like, well, I'm just going to sit here. Oh, well, there's something to like get worked up about and like, fill my time with.
But sometimes, I mean, I'm a pretty busy guy, but sometimes I find time to fight with vegans. on our post.
Whatever.
Like on our CrossFit Meets
post. And how many times, though, am I usually like, that is a waste of energy. Put the phone down.
But it is kind of fun. Like the other day when the trannies kept coming after me.
Well, oh my gosh. Yeah.
That was bad.
That was real bad.
Man, they were coming at me hard.
TikTok famous real fast.
It was Twitter.
Oh, Twitter. You're not on TikTok. Not Twitter.
Yeah. I don't even like ever say anything on Twitter. And boy, they came at me hard.
Yeah.
Until I played the ultimate Trump card.
Said you were a tiger.
Yeah. I told him I identified as a tiger, which makes me a minority. And they are bigots for bullying me. Case closed. I'm out. I win. Checkmate.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. The sad thing, they all stopped. Yeah. Anyways, but.
Because they realized how stupid what they were saying sounded. But anyways. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
All right. So we got to wrap it up. So the point of this whole podcast is that, like, if you're young and you're listening to this, get married. Right? Like, don't rush into it. You don't have to rush into marriage or anything else.
Find the right person.
Yes, find the right person. But when you find that person, commit, put a ring on it, have a long, fulfilled life, have a bunch of kids, buy yourself some land, be invested in your communities. Because if you do all of those things, you will be a happier person.
You will have purpose.
Yes. You won't want to dye your hair blue. Right? Like you'll have purpose, you'll have fulfillment, you'll have joy,
love,
you'll have all of these things. If you're a man, you'll have a desire to want to protect your family. You want to provide for them. And that actually will also provide you with purpose as well. So there you go. Go out, get married, have a bunch of kids, buy some land, and life will be good. Right?
Perfect.
All right, everybody. Have an awesome day. Have a good weekend.
See Talk ya. To y'all soon.
I absolutely love having you as a listener of the Primal King podcast. If you don't want to miss out on the great content, then it's time to hit that subscribe button right now. Do not be left behind. And then share your thoughts and feedback with a written review of the show. I read every single one of these, and it helps me make sure I am serving you best. It also allows others to find this content, and it builds this community. Make it an awesome day, and we'll see you next time.